from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You know what that sound means, Hugh?
No, I don't know what it used to mean.
Well, what does it mean now?
Well, it means now we're talking about the Phillies,
yeah,
right?
Magic, yeah, Magic Number.
I had a flashback.
It's Final Countdown?
To what?
Yeah. Do you really want to know?
I mean, I kind of do.
Well, you brought it to the audience's attention now.
Now, I remember back in the day when you go to like the choice shoe model establishments, this was the song that they would parade all the like young ladies out to.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm just saying. I just had a flashback.
Well, this segment's not taking on a new connotation.
I'm just saying.
There's
long, that. Long time ago, man.
back in the day. We're looking forward, not back here. The Phillies magic
I'm
number.
I'm having a Jerry Jones moment.
Just watch yourself. Watch yourself. All right. The Phillies magic number after winning last night to clinch the National League East is now 26. So 26 now is the number. That's because the Braves also won last night. So we only chopped one off last night for 27-26 with the victory. Now, also yesterday we brought up the idea of just also clinching a playoff spot because there were some people out there recently that worried they're going to miss the playoffs.
You mean the King?
Yeah. So people, you know,
it was like it was a wrap. Kiss the baby.
A little concerned. So the Phillies now have a magic number of 22 to simply make the playoffs. It's 26 to win the division and capture the NL East. Now, I mentioned it didn't move more last night because the Braves won big in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, I was looking at that box score this morning. I did see some of the highlights early in the game. Max Fried pitched and Olsen hit a home run. But I was looking at the box score for the Braves, who won 10-6 last night in Minnesota. You know what I noticed?
What you noticed?
Their leadoff hitter last night with 5 hits was Whit Merrifield.
This not is the a guy joke, that used to be frankly. Here.
Yeah, same guy.
That didn't do nothing for us.
Whit Merrifield, 5 hits last night for the Atlanta Braves.
That's crazy. He's become the man down there.
Was there a bigger lock than Whit going to the Braves and actually playing well for them?
You want to hear his full numbers now for the Braves?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to make anybody happy.
Well, I got to read it now.
I'm looking at his average right now.
Ready? So for the Phillies, he hit 199 with a 277 on base and a 295 slugging percentage. That's like below Johan Rojas kind of offense, okay?
Oh, hold on. Leave Johan out of this.
I'm just saying that's below.
That's how he always is. He's
it's
easy.
Below
that's
the easy. Rojas line. It's worse than Rojas. Since he got to the Braves, he's hitting 313 with a 427 on base percentage and a 450 slug. Remember the best of Trey Turner this season? That's when he's been since he got there.
Oh, dude.
What are we doing?
So it's our fault.
I mean, someone's fault. His?
It's ours.
We could blame him. He's stunk here.
We didn't give him a standing O. See, if we'd have did that, he'd have been all right.
Oh, is that it?
I mean, I'm thinking. That's what it feels like.
I'm not happy about this.
No, it's nothing to be happy about. But I'm telling you, it has something to, you know, sometimes it changes scenery and, you know, helps out tremendously.
Can we just get him out this weekend? I can't have him come here and hit for 4 games. I can't do it.
That triple last week was enough.
I know. He had multiple extra base hits. 5 hits last. I mean, he used to be a good player, and he was an all-star a few times. I didn't think he had any 5-hit games left in that bat. But he had it yesterday. So the Phillies cut one off the magic number. It goes into tonight at 26 to clinch the National League East. Are we getting Nola tonight? Nola against Justin Verlander. That's a fun pitching matchup. Verlander still going into his 40s. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Let's go to Andy, who is in Westchester here. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Andy. What's are you thinking, Andy? Today?
Well, Hugh, I'm looking forward to battling you for last place in the fantasy league.
Hey, man, it should be fun, dog.
We need to come up with a punishment for that.
Yeah, so some of these fantasy football punishments are really good. I would love to see Hugh in the fantasy football punishment. That'd be great.
No,
I was him in a bobsled. I was thinking about that a while ago when you were talking about things for him to do.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys happen to see I think we talked about it, the one recently where the guy had to go to McDonald's for 24 hours, but everything he ate would chop like a few minutes off of his time. So like the more he ate, the quicker he could leave McDonald's.
Oh, no.
Ugh.
I like McDonald's, but I don't think I could.
Sure, but with any kind of fast food, like how much can you actually consume at once?
Now, when I was younger, yes, but when you get older, the stomach don't.
So would you just hang out for 24 straight hours?
As long as Absolutely. Until they kick me out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess they can.
I'd probably get a shake. I could get a shake. I'd probably do the fish sandwich. But boy, I tell you, I would keep it to a minimum. They got some salads. They got some nice little salads. They got wraps
salads?
At McDonald's.
Not
dude, yet. Please do not eat a salad.
I get a wrap. Yeah. I get a wrap or something.
Don't their salads have a ton of calories, too? Pretty sure the salads are really bad.
All right, you ready for this? Before Andy makes his point on the Eagles, here is what they had to do, okay? So this guy posted this. He had to go for 24 hours to McDonald's because he finished in last. And he was given a key. So everything he ate, he could chop minutes off. Ready? So like bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit was 45 minutes. Big breakfast with hotcakes was an hour and 20 minutes. That's a big one. So everything he ate counted as something. McChicken, 45. Filet-O-Fish, 45. If he went in the ball pit,
see,
that cut off 5 minutes.
Fish. Yeah, I'd ate a couple filet of fish and called it a wrap. I could eat like four of those. I could probably do four.
Four filet of fish?
And then that's it. Like
well,
four filet
that
fish.
Counts. That would take 3 hours off.
You said, I thought you said four. Okay, yeah, that's
45
you're right.
minutes.
Three, yeah.
That's not worth it.
No, you got to go in hungry. All right, Andy, what do you think on the Eagles?
Damn.
I want to be in the room while they're making those rules up.
I know.
How do you decide what's worth what? So quick, I was thinking about this. One thing that happens when you're sitting on hold is there's so many things that come up, so you don't know what to get to. But Jerry Jones thing about him being far from able to run the team, he is still far from it. It was 28 years ago when he couldn't do it anymore.
Yes. He doesn't realize that he's getting further away from that by the day here.
So with the points you're trying to make, I think you're really talking about two different things. I was talking to Kyle about this. The more likely to miss the playoffs or win the Super Bowl, I mean, you can't argue. It's logically they're more likely to miss the playoffs. But I think they're, you know, more they're going to win more than 11 games or 10 games, at least 11. So it's just sitting here listening to people argue with you, and it's about the point whether or not it's likely versus what do you think's going to happen.
Yeah, and Andy, they could, but I – the idea that they're a lock to win more than 11 games, I don't know if any NFL team. Yeah, but you said they're going to. I mean, I think they can, but I think there's a path to only 9 or 10 wins. I mean, I don't think that's crazy. They have a lot of question marks that I need to see the answer to before I feel like, all right, this is, you know, this is very certain to happen or probably will happen.
Yeah, I certainly don't think it's a lock, but I think they're going to, but maybe I'm wrong. I'm often wrong, so.
Well, I am too, and that's why no one agrees with me today, because they're like, you're wrong anyway.
Dude, it's been so much fun listening to the dog pile, though. It's just everybody's pounding on you.
Oh, that's all right. And listen, today's one of those days where I hope everybody's right. That would make it great. Then everyone could say, you're a dummy, and then we're all, you know, we're at the NFC title game together, and it's a great time. That'd be great.
Yep. Well, anyway, that was pretty much it. And,
you got it, Andy.
I will see you guys tomorrow.
Sounds good. All yes, right. Fantasy draft tomorrow at Chickies of Pete. So Andy is one of our winners that entered the league. So we're excited for us tomorrow night. Hugh, he wasn't really talking trash. He was just saying he wants to battle you for last place.
Yeah, it'll probably happen. I got to...
Have you been working on your draft board?
Huh?
Have you been working on your draft board?
No.
Rankings.
I'm just going to go in
he
there.
He was focusing on staying awake, first of all, man.
Yeah, that's probably
we
my biggest priority.
We start at 5 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Look, man.
Man, listen.
5 p.m.
It's a long day of work.
When, by the time 2 o'clock roll around, I'll be sleepy. I'm going to have to take a nap when I get off of work to get ready for the draft.
I do get, it's weird. Like, I get, that midday crash.
And then the weather's
feeling.
Changing. Yeah. Like, listen, I don't know
tomorrow.
How it is for anybody
hot.
Else. But we're in football season. And it's a little bit crisper. The air's a little bit crisper at night now.
Yeah, not tomorrow, though.
Yeah, but it's going to be... at night it gets crispy. 90, it gets a little crispy.
It's going to be crispy all day, 95 tomorrow.
Well, it's going to be crispy during the day, but I'm saying at night the air gets a little cooler. That's good sleeping weather, man. And plus, I'm getting closer to finding me a place to stay.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe.
He said for the fifth time in the last year.
This is the guy you trust about the Eagles right here?
Yeah, I might be moving soon.
All right, let me ask you a question. Just pick your brain a little
bit.
No. Because I know you've been
doing... No, because I don't feel like you're asking me personal questions.
You're not,
bro. I feel
not,
like you're about to be personal.
It's not personal.
Okay, fine.
I know you're doing a lot of fantasy football prep. I'm just wondering who you're going with if you get the number one pick. You could say that because the only way it matters is if you have the number one pick.
I don't know. Like, I've been hearing a lot about these running backs, man. I think this is going to be pretty. I don't know. I keep hearing Bijan Robinson's name.
He will be picked high.
Yeah, I heard. I keep hearing that name. I don't know, but I don't want to get nobody no cannon fodder just in case I don't get the number.
Is McCaffrey a lock at one, or with that calf issue, is he not going to go one?
I don't know. Saquon Barkley might be a guy.
With all the tush push stealing of touchdowns?
Yeah, that kind of
hurt you with Swift last year.
Oh my goodness, that did me in last year. I don't know, man. I might go to self route. I might draft a quarterback first. Didn't he draft a quarterback first?
Did he drafted like Jake Elliott in the third round?
Yeah, that was a disaster.
It was a horrible draft.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, people get like uppity when you draft a quarterback early.
Maybe I'll just draft the defense early.
Don't do that. Trying to save you. We got to do one of these punishments for whoever finishes last place.
No, it's either receiver or running back. You go first, right?
Yeah, primarily. Yeah,
primarily receiver.
It used to always be running back, but now because the game has changed so much and it's so much about throwing the ball, you see a lot of receivers.
I don't know, man. I don't know. CeeDee Lamb, maybe?
Taking a Cowboy in the first round?
Hey, man, listen, I'm trying to win, dog. I mean,
CeeDee's a good pick, yeah, obviously.
Maybe one of the receivers from Cincinnati?
Oh, Chase, sure. Yeah. I think he showed back up at practice yesterday, even though he doesn't have a deal. So
I was about to say Justin Jefferson, but I was like, damn, ain't nobody throwing him the ball. Well, you know what? I would probably do Drake London. That'd be a bold pick. That'd be a bold pick.
Well, by all means.
Why Hugh is in last. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Hugh, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up, pal?
You my guy. But I think I'm going to take Swerbombs in the race, man. Swerbombs, he put on the Jets last night.
Listen. And when he did that, Terrence, I was thinking to myself, damn, he rolling around the bases. And then my pride said, oh, you can still get him, big dog.
Yeah.
You can still
Terrence,
get him.
Terrence Schwarber would smoke him.
Yeah, I think he would smoke him. And I'm going to go with, man, on the Phillies, I feel like if they keep this pace going, it's not about – I heard Howard Eskin, heard the dope one earlier. It's not about – he was right about one thing. It's not about winning the division. And not about none of that. It's about what you do in the playoffs. And this team, man, if we can keep our bats going – I believe we have a great shot. As for the Eagles, I said they're better off winning the Super Bowl than missing the playoffs. This team has a lot to prove. And like my man Hugh was saying, I believe Jalen Hurts learned from this. I believe Nick Sirianni learned from this. And they have the weapons, the preferred weapons. And the key thing that he said, I believe Kelsey's in there. He's coaching up Juergens to the fullest. So we still got Mulata. We still got Lane. Last time I checked, we still got Dickerson. So we still have some key pieces on this line. I'm not worried about our back end on a cornerback. I'm not worried about our wide receivers, our running backs. I'm just worried about our interior line that's been a key for the Eagles almost the last decade.
Really the last 20 years. But you're right. Obviously, the Kelsey part was the last decade or so. Terrence, that's a good point, one that we didn't bring up, Hugh, because the question about Kelsey and Juergens, we had the discussion of how good Juergens is going to be now. Mm-hmm. The fact that Kelsey's still around to an extent to help him.
Yeah, help him with the little nuances and stuff. Better athlete, too.
Absolutely.
But when Sundays gets there, he's not on the field with them. Right?
No,
he's got to do it himself. At some Juergens point, the training again. Yeah, right. And look, I don't think I'm not worried about Juergens. I just think it's a natural drop off from where Kelsey was to where Juergens will be. But hopefully, he gets there pretty quickly here.
And one more thing, Joe. Like, with so much in the NFL, we all know that Kansas City is going to be there. Like it's wide open in the NFC. All you got is the Detroit Lions and San Francisco. The Eagles have a pretty good shot of going back to the Super Bowl, like you said. I'm going to give them the NFC ceiling. NFC, no less than it. But I'll pick Super Bowl.
So you said you're with you. NFC title game is like the they have to at least get there.
That's the ceiling. You got too much talent on this team.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of talent, Terrence. We appreciate it. It's a high bar. NFC title game?
Super high bar. I think they can make it, though.
Well, they could. I mean, of course they could make it. It's a matter of if they're going to get there. And I think Juergens is one of the X factors for the season. There's no question.
Yeah.
It's the other. It's not even Juergens. It's like Juergens moves from guard to center. Okay, but then they got to put Becton in at the guard spot. That is a bizarre situation. Doesn't it feel like the Eagles kind of let themselves a little thin on the O-line for the first time in a long time?
Yeah, but I feel that they have enough skill positions that it could compensate for the lack of depth.
But they never think like that. They never build a team like this.
Yeah, they don't. But they pushed it. Man, listen, they ain't never signed two receivers that they paid that kind of money to either. So it's I think it's a different way of thinking, different philosophy. And it goes back to that point that you said one of the GMs or defensive coordinators made about Jalen. They feel like with Jalen that they're in a Super Bowl window, and they gave him as much talent as they possibly could. They went out and got another. They got a third receiver that was a former first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. They are pushed. They've pushed their chips into the middle of the table with this offensive coordinator and this quarterback and said, hey, listen, he could be a second-tier quarterback and get you to the Super Bowl. Hell, Brock Purdy was considered a second-tier quarterback, and he got to the Super Bowl, so why not?
Well, that's absolutely true. You don't need a tier one quarterback to get to the Super Bowl, right? Because I would say most quarterbacks that get there, if we're using the tiers the way they define them, most quarterbacks that get there are tier twos, right? Unless you have Mahomes, you know that other the next grouping of quarterbacks, you can win with those guys. The Eagles can absolutely, they did it already. They got to a Super Bowl. They almost won a Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts. That's not the question. It's the other stuff around Jalen, and if it's good enough. Ken and Cinnamon, what's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Hey, what's Ken. What's up?
Hey, well, before I get to the Eagles, it's good to know that Ron Romanko has an easy answer for Taiwan Walker. It just involves tearing up his contract, tearing up the collective bargaining agreement, and disbanding the Players Association.
Who That's needs the CBA, Ken? These CBAs, who needs those things?
Yeah, we're all set. There's only one way this ends, and that's with the Phillies outrighting Taiwan Walker after they DFA him and he refuses to go. So I don't know why they're wasting another minute of their lives on this and mine, since I'm going to be down there at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon when it's 140 degrees, watching him mope through 3 2/3 innings with 93 pitches and 7 runs. Like, really? Just give me my refund now. Joe, mathematically, the Eagles are more likely to miss the playoffs than win the Super Bowl, as is every team in the NFL. Realistically, the safest bet in the NFL since he became the head coach is that Nick Sirianni is going to make the playoffs, because he's never not made the playoffs as a head coach in the NFL. This team is absolutely positively going to make the playoffs. They are absolutely positively going to win the division. And because of that fact, that does not mean they are likely to win the Super Bowl, but they are more likely to win the Super Bowl than they are to miss the playoffs. It's not math, it's reality.
So, I mean, you're right about Sirianni, but I mean, Ken, it's a smaller sample, right? It's not Andy Reid with the Chiefs where it's, a decade plus. We got 3 years of evidence. That's good. 3 really good years, 3 playoff years.
You can only go by what you have.
I understand that, but
you can only go by what you have. But, the things that you're worried about, I'm telling you, when the season's over, you're going to come back to me. You're going to do one of these, what Kyle's going to have to do after the Sixers don't make the conference finals and he's going to have to go on the air and tell me he'll never question my wisdom again. You're going to come back to me the same way. Like, I can't believe I was so worried about the pass rush. It is the number of sacks that a defense generates is an overrated statistic compared to the other statistics that the defense is responsible for. If they have a plus 6 or better takeaway ratio, and Jalen Hurts does not turn the football over 20 times by himself, this is going to be a good defense. And that's all you really need. The pass rush immediately gets better when you make the back end of the defense better. And everybody recognizes that the back end of this defense has been improved dramatically.
Dramatically.
So, you're worrying about numbers, like how many sacks they're going to have. And there's the Baltimore Ravens had the best defense in the NFL last year, and they were a middle of the pack team in sacks.
I agree. It's pressure. It's just the sacks are a number we could kind of hone in on and say that. But you're right. I mean, it is. But that's part of it too. And Ken, we appreciate it. I don't know where the pressure's coming from.
I do. When you ask me, I'll tell you.
Go ahead. Where's the pressure?
Bryce Huff.
Okay.
Said it with a straight face. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be fine, man. I think they're going to have to be creative in the way that they do things, no question about that. But I think Bryce is going to make his money. Bryce is going to do his thing.
So the other part of this is they're a very young defense. I'm not individually down on any of these guys. I just don't know if they're ready. Like, this might be a year away from what we want it to be. Bryce Huff is young, and Nolan Smith is young, and Quinyon Mitchell's young, and Cooper DeJean, and Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
There's a lot of young guys.
Yeah, Jalen Carter. I mean, the Eagles defense 1 year from now could be what we
need them to be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure when that's coming.
I give
them 3 months. They got 3 months.
What about the games in the first 3 months?
Well, the offense better carry today. That's all I got to say about
30
that.
Points per game?
30, at least. Mm. I'm confident with that number.
Can we hear Nick Wright again? Nick Wright yesterday, FS1. This has got everyone all riled up. And listen, you're going to disagree probably what he said. I just don't think it's crazy. I think the Eagles are going to win 10 games, but if they win 9 and they're in the muck of the NFC playoff race, it would not surprise me. Here's Nick Wright yesterday, NFC East rankings.
At number 3 is the Philadelphia Eagles. They've lost 6 of the last 7 games. They had a bottom 4 defense across the board in the NFL last season. They lost a future Hall of Famer, the leader of their team, the best player on their offense. Their coach and their quarterback don't get along. Their coach was known for one thing, kind of being a jerk on the sidelines, and now he's been like, no, I'm going to stop that. If anyone else could have told him that was a bad idea years ago, classic 2, once again. And all of those things, they come into the season on the hot seat. They have 2 great receivers. I know that. I don't know much else about this football team other than their GM loves the acquisition of, I knew who that guy is. Jahan Dotson? Oh, yeah, I remember him.
He's good.
Is he a third receiver? Based on what?
Well, Sam Howell?
Based on what?
Well, based on his draft pick status. That's why Dotson is here, because he was a first-round pick.
Can I say this? Because I feel like, and I'm not picking on Nick, but it feels to me like this story and the story I heard the other day about a similar situation was that they're just not getting up to speed to what we've been talking about for months. Like we've already had these conversations.
Oh, the worry about the team.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We've already had these conversations. You know how we do a show every day here, Boots on the Ground, and we talk about, you know, the different things that are going on with this team because we're here.
Right.
And we're passionate.
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're right about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just sounds to me like because they do the national thing, which, I mean, hey, they do a good job. They're just not getting up to speed to what we've been talking about and been past for like months.
So it's interesting to me. We it goes in waves. Everything we talk about, right? The excitement versus worry. We've been doing it with the Phillies all year long, right? Like excitement. Now down, back up. It just goes in waves. And what I find interesting is we are now in the high tide in terms of Eagles hype. Season's next week. All those worries, all those roster spots that we're not sure of, they're all going to work out, right? We have this optimism. And they might. I acknowledge they might. The Eagles have a lot of ingredients to be a very good football team. But I also have these questions at parts that I consider really important, which is the O-line and the D-line. Losing Kelce, losing Cox, the pass rush. We'll see. And a caller brought up something earlier that was interesting. Jalen in a new offense, right? He's got to learn the new offense and get comfortable. You know, you look back at his career when he's got a new coordinator. Usually takes him about a month, and then it gets rolling. And, you know, can they win over the first month if he's not rolling? We'll see. We'll see what it all looks like. 215-592-9494. By the way, congratulations to our winner of today's prize. Sue won the 4-pack of tickets to the Atlantic City In-Water Boat Show at the Golden Nugget Casino Hotel September 5th. You guys see the new 2025 model introductions from all the major boat manufacturers. Tickets on sale now. AC In-Water Boat Show. com. So congratulations, Sue. All right, coming up inside, your phone calls here. Eagles, more likely to miss the playoffs or win the Super Bowl. Plus, we'll play some audio from Bill Belichick. He was asked about playing starters in the preseason, specifically his quarterbacks. His thoughts on that next, as the Eagles obviously didn't play their starter here. And if Philly's tonight against the Astros, it's Verlander on the mound. I found the lineup for the last time Verlander pitched in Philadelphia. It is a long time ago. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And listen up, my friends, over at FanDuel. You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have a little something different for you now. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube, and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV-based plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon at a market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Is the official partner of 94 WIP. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls here in just a minute. And I do have the lineup in front of me. Last time Justin Verlander pitched at Citizens Bank Park in the regular season, it was a long, long time ago. But yesterday, Bill Belichick, who's now doing like a million media things, he's on like Pat McAfee, ESPN, Underdog Fantasy, he's all doing podcasts. Yesterday, I heard him talking to Pat McAfee, and interesting comments about the preseason, what you learn, how valuable it is, because we know the Eagles just came off a preseason where they didn't play any guys on offense. Jalen Hurts didn't take a snap. And we yelled a lot about the backup quarterbacks. Like, what is really the value anymore of the preseason? Because most teams, well, at least a lot of teams, don't value it. Some still play guys. Here's Belichick, who used to play his guys, his starters in the preseason. Here's what he said. About a minute long. Listen to Belichick on the preseason.
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't think you really know how anybody's playing in preseason. I mean, especially at the quarterback position. The schemes are so simple. From the other side of the ball, generally speaking, you know, you're running, you're, for the most part, you're running very basic schemes. You're trying to evaluate your players. You're trying to get them to play the good fundamentals that they know how to play. You're not disguising things. You just want your defensive players to be, you know, ready to react and play fast and quickly. And you don't want to put in like 1,000 adjustments against a team who offensively isn't running that much anyway. So, most of those games are very basic. When you watch the games, it's, you know, two or three coverages. You see a lot of man-to-man coverage because teams like to, you know, evaluate their players and see who can play man-to-man and who can't. And so, look, zone teams play zone. I'm not saying that. But, you know, you do things to evaluate your players. I think to come out of preseason and say, oh, this guy's really playing good or that guy's really playing good, I wouldn't put much stock in that at all. I'd put more stock in what they're doing in practice.
So a couple things hit me from that, Hugh. One, he said that you really don't know how anyone's playing in preseason. Mm-hmm. Like, we make these, we see things, we hear things, we think things, but you really have no idea until the season starts. He also made it sound like the practices matter way more than
they do.
Because that goes back to the Kenny Pickett, McKee thing. I heard
Kenny
Elliott.
Kenny Tugla.
Elliott was on this morning, and Joe asked him, like, are the Eagles going to make a move at backup quarterback? You know, what are they, because he doesn't feel comfortable with Kenny Pickett. And Elliott made the point that Pickett has played well enough in practice. It's just he hasn't played good in the games, and that's what we see on TV.
Yeah.
And that changes people's opinions.
Yeah, and that's the thing that people need to realize, man. Like, everything in the preseason vanilla, and everything is relative. Like, when we talked about the fact that Kenny held the ball too long and things like that, it's the receivers weren't getting open. They weren't getting open. And it would be different if you had skinny Batman and big Batman out there. So it's one of those things that when we talked about it, I understood perfectly what people were seeing and what they were talking about. And that's why I made the decision. I was like, well, in the gut telling you that it should be the other guy, but it's going to be Kenny Pickett. Because that's usually how it works, because they're factoring in all of those intangibles. And to that point about the preseason and what they do, certain things that you do in practice – that nobody sees because you want to, you know, keep that under wraps. I remember when Jim Johnson was our defensive coordinator, every week it would either be the Giant week, it would be Commodore week, or Cowboys week. Or sometimes you'd even sprinkle in a team. Like, it, say if we're getting in training camp, we would go over stuff for the first game against the first team that we're going to say. And then you have the advanced scouts. Everybody's starting, and, you know, that's when you start getting people – scouting teams that you're going to play to try to see what they're going to do in preseason and all the other good stuff. But, yeah, it's all about game planning and scheming once the season starts. But during preseason, ain't nobody doing that, man. You just want to go out there and just see flat out who can play.
Yeah, and we do this, I think, because we're just so starved for football. We watch and we pay, and then we're like, oh, yeah, I like this or I like that. And, I mean, stuff that what we just saw in preseason, we will forget. But for 3 weeks from now, it won't. It's almost like spring training in baseball. It doesn't really carry over almost ever at all. But we just get into it because we're just so excited football is back. And Belichick's basically like, yeah, none of it mattered.
Yeah, and you know what? This is one of the main reasons why. And this is no disrespect to anybody that asked the question. But at the same time, it's like when you ask me questions about what have I seen in the preseason and how somebody's playing, I will try my best to answer it. But there's really no answer because – you don't really see anything, but you don't want to, but you know, not to get off into a long, dragged out conversation. You just say, hey, well, how do you think so and so? Well, I look good. You know, he looks good. He looks good. He looks good. So that's why when I think of the Bryce Huff thing, and we talk about what is he going to do. The biggest concern that I have for Bryce Huff is are you going to have enough gas in the tank after first and second down? Because I'm telling you, as a man who knows this intimately, boy, those first couple pass rushes I did, I was like, Lord have mercy, have I been working out at all? Like seriously. Like, I remember I couldn't breathe, and they were like, hey, you got to rush the pass now. Do I? Like, seriously, that was one of the biggest things. And it was especially obvious when I ran the touchdown back in the Jets game and then had to come right back out there on defense.
How'd you feel?
Boy, I was done. Put a fork in me.
Hugh Douglas is
man,
up and running.
I tell you what, man. Like, I can't express to you enough how much faster and how much more physical the game is when you actually have to play. Like, it was overwhelming. And I remember a couple times, like, damn, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Like, so, seriously.
So let me ask this question, because what you're saying, I'm sure the Eagles know. I'm sure Bryce Huff knows. I'm sure Vic Fangio knows, right? Like, the idea of going from part-time player to full-time player is a lot, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be more tired on third down. So here's a question I have about the game specifically next Friday. Do you think they're going to ease Bryce Huff into his new role?
No.
Then he might not be effective in the fourth quarter.
No, let me tell you what Bryce Huff should have been doing. Getting his ass ready to play in Brazil and beyond, knowing that they gave you $54 million. You better get your ass on that treadmill or do whatever you have to do in order to be prepared to play. You're going to get 30 snaps easily. Like that. Like, it ain't like I'm about to be the old man.
But is he going
to
get 55 snaps?
I'm going to be the old man on the porch. He ain't playing 60 snaps. Joe, they ain't playing 60 snaps.
Well, that's what I mean. They're going to ease him into it.
No. These guys don't play 60 snaps at all. They play 30.
Sometimes they do.
When? Last year, those guys did.
That's what I mean.
They're not going to play that mid. They're going to rotate these guys. I'm assuming. Let me say that. Let me just say that.
So
I assume.
Reddick at times last year would play, I would say probably 55 to 60 snaps in a game.
Yeah, and they complained about it. They're not going to do them like that.
This guy to replace Hassan Reddick.
Joe, the team, you're getting mad at me. The team that went to the Super Bowl, Joe, I would say on average, they probably played like 30 snaps apiece.
They were deeper.
Yeah, they played like 30 snaps apiece. They're going to try to do that.
All right, ready for the snaps last year, Hassan Reddick?
How many?
I'll give you, let's just go week by week, all right? Week by week. 58, 39, 31. 52, 38, 47, 37, 59, 60, 68, 83, 83, 42,
that's a lot of snaps.
59, 51, 53, 59, 26. I got to do the math on that. My eyes are telling me 50-something's an average. It's a lot of snaps.
Yeah, they didn't play like
that. I'm blaming
you
if Huff's not ready.
He should be ready. Hell, he gave $54 million.
Okay, but there's a difference between being out there and being yourself. Like, all right, if he plays 50 snaps, does he have juice in his legs in the fourth quarter?
Joe, he got to have juice. He has to. But and I will say this. When I played, it felt like it was a whole lot more physical.
It was a whole lot more physical.
Because you talk about those snaps, you talk about the practice reps, man. Ooh, fix it, Jesus.
When men were men.
Yes.
In the mid-90s.
When nobody was plant-based. Everybody was eating meat.
You were right. I mean, there were vegetarians. Plant-based is definitely a new term. There wasn't a single plant-based person in the 90s.
Nobody was out there plant-basing it. They was out there getting it in.
Back in the day.
It was different.
All right, Kyle, we have some NFL cut news. Is cut down day 4 o'clock today?
Just a few interesting ones that I saw. The Titans released Caleb Farley,
who was the corner first rounder a few years ago, Virginia Tech.
That's kind of a big one. The Chiefs cut Kadarius Toney.
That was a long time coming.
Yes, but it does go to show where they think their wide receiver room is now as opposed to last season. Yep.
The Chiefs are going to be better than they were last year.
Oh, I agree. On offense, they really nowhere to go but up.
They got Carson Wentz. Yeah, of course.
Him aside, they're better.
Yeah. Great. Their QB room is now better now that Carson Wentz is there. Just one that I saw. Well, actually, real quick, I'll give you an Eagles one. Aeneas Smith. I don't know how to pronounce his first name.
Sound like Aeneas.
He is going to go on the IR.
So they could sneak
him
through.
So they have the roster spot open now.
That tells me Paris Campbell's probably on the team.
Yeah.
Yep. Aeneas Smith sounds funny, though.
And then just the other one that I found interesting. Not like interesting, but like funny. that notification came up, is the Panthers are releasing tight end Jordan Matthews. So our old buddy Jordan Matthews, now a tight end, did not find a home with maybe the worst roster in football. So
I was a Jordan Matthews fan when he was young here, and he catch all those passes. It fell off kind of fast. Didn't he have an ankle injury towards the end of his time here?
I think so.
He never seemed to be the same player. He was Elliott's favorite player.
Speaking of like Wentz, like man, the Wentz connection with Jordan Matthews, man.
So, I mean, look, Jordan Matthews' first 3 years were very productive. So 67 catches, 872 yards as a rookie. Then his next year, his second year, 85 receptions, 997 yards. He had 16 total touchdowns his first 2 years. Then it was 73 for 804. And then since then, it kind of ended. Remember when he came back in 2018? I kind of forgot about that.
The reunion.
He was on the field in the playoffs. Yeah.
That's right.
Did he catch a pass?
It was a touchdown he had against the Saints, right?
When they went up 7? Did they go up 14?
I think they went up 14-0 in
Ertz
that game.
Ertz was one of the touchdowns. Was Jordan Matthews the other touchdown?
Somebody got behind the defense, and Foles hit him for a deep ball. It might have been Jordan Matthews.
Oh, I got to find this.
And then it was Craven LeBlanc had an interception. What a time. What a time.
I was all in on the 2018 team. Thought they were making another run. Yes, he did have a 37-yard touchdown catch against the Saints in New Orleans. They didn't score again after that. They lost 20-14. It was a good day. I was into that team. I thought they were going to make another run. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Joe is in Jersey. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Black Panther. How we doing?
What's going on, man?
What's up?
How you doing?
Oh, I tell you, I waited so long, my headphones went dead.
Oh, no. Anyway, you got to charge those things back up.
It's unbelievable. Just, you know, Nick Wright is wrong. And so I'm on the website. I'm looking at this marathon, you know, the bidding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing one guy, 10,000, 8,000, 3,000, 5,000. And then I see Giglio and Hugh Douglas, $210.
Sounds like a bargain, if you're asking me.
Yeah, that's about right. That's
too low.
The wheelhouse that we're in.
So what Joe is referencing here, and we're going to do a lot in this next couple of days, the Radiothon, Eagles Radiothon. We're going to talk to a lot of people tomorrow and have and really boost up all these great things you could bid on. But yeah, one of them is you get to sit in and hang out for the full show with us here at WIP.
For $200.
Well, that's the bidding now, Hugh. That's going to rise.
Yeah, it's going to rise.
Gentlemen, you go talk to these guys. They got to start you at least $500. That's just... You're a Hall of Famer, man.
$200.
Yo, you're actually that.
I got a $30 coat. What are you talking about?
Who's plant-based now?
I got a $30 coat.
For $200.
I got a $30 coat.
How about Joe? You just put the first bid in at $500, and away we go.
No, I'm gonna bid $500 when I get off the phone. I was gonna bid $1,000, but I waited so long I knocked it to $500.
Okay.
So this is my point, guys. You know, you're always on the mark. I got 11-6. Deep into the playoffs. This is what I think we have to think about. We had a really soft defense last year. I think this defense is going to be much more physical, much more aggressive. We had the 31st ranked defense. If we go to 16th or 15th with this offense, we should go far. Another fact, we have the top 5 roster in football. Everybody votes, everything you say, who has the top 5 roster? The Eagles. So why shouldn't we go far?
Well, the coach, number one, the head coach, is a concern after last year. But yeah, look, they have enough talent. When you look at that talent, it's a lot of it is centralizing the skill players, Joe, and not enough for me in the pass rush and the O-line. But it's possible.
Look, you know something? You know, everybody, you know, Mekhi Becton, this guy was like the 14th pick in the draft.
Yep.
I mean, he's going to be killing people when they go to sweep to the right side. I mean, I'm not worried about the offensive line. This kid is a good center. I have a lot of confidence in him. We got great skilled players. So where I would be disappointed in you is if we go to this first week and we have problems with the blitz, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to totally lose it. We better have figured that out by now.
Oh, without question. I mean, because then you start to look at it. Joe, we always appreciate your phone call and the bid. Yes, tomorrow and the next couple days, we'll be talking a lot about the Eagles Radiothon, including a sit-in here with the Midday Show.
All right. $200.
Well, Joe said he's going to go bid $500
okay,
right now.
Okay, $500. You got to beat that.
$501.
Got to beat $501.
I was going to say you're bidding, but you're part of it. You can't bid.
I can't bid. I'm here. I'm going to be here.
If we're being real, you wouldn't bid that much.
No, that's too much. I got $30. Don't tell people that. No, but I'm saying for me.
You also got we got a new coach yesterday.
Yeah,
by the way.
I did. I got a free coat. That's better. That free trumps 30 all day long.
Did you try? You tried it on? Is it warm?
Yes, I did. It's pretty nice, man. It's nice.
You ready for the?
Well,
fall
I tried
winter?
It on yesterday, and it was kind of snug. But I got one that's not so snug.
No. I mentioned yesterday I was interested in the Phillies signing Jason Hayward for the stretch run.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was signed. It's not going to be the Phillies. It's actually going to be the team they're playing right now. The Houston Astros are signing Jason Hayward for the remainder of the season. Dodgers had released him, so he's now going to end up with the Houston Astros. Good team, taking on a player I've always liked.
Does Dombrowski know that there's more than just a trade deadline?
I would think he would know the rules.
I feel like he sleeps.
Yeah, I would like that waiver wire sharing a little more.
He's a potential Hall of Fame like manager. I mean,
GM.
GM, right?
Yeah, but I mean, is he cooked? I'm just saying.
I mean, Jason Hayward is just sitting out there.
No, I'm just saying. No, I don't think he's cooked. I think he's more calculating than that.
Is he content? Is he too content with his roster? I think he is at times.
But we know that. We know that because at the trade deadline, he really didn't do a whole lot.
But every day you don't get better, you get worse. That's my motto.
And the guys started to pay dividends for him because they hit. They've been hitting. They've had like, what, 60 hits in the last couple of weeks?
No, they've been pretty good. The other guy that was released yesterday.
Runs, I should say.
Hits, yeah. Well, they had a lot of hits. Ex-Philly Drew Smyly released by the Cubs. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely take Drew Smyly, especially because we don't know when and if Jose Alvarado's coming back. They could use another arm. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls here in just a minute. And I do have the lineup in front of me. Last time Justin Verlander pitched at Citizens Bank Park in the regular season, it was a long, long time ago. But yesterday, Bill Belichick, who's now doing like a million media things, he's on like Pat McAfee, ESPN, Underdog Fantasy, he's all doing podcasts. Yesterday, I heard him talking to Pat McAfee, and interesting comments about the preseason, what you learn, how valuable it is, because we know the Eagles just came off a preseason where they didn't play any guys on offense. Jalen Hurts didn't take a snap. And we yelled a lot about the backup quarterbacks. Like, what is really the value anymore of the preseason? Because most teams, at least a lot of teams, don't value it. Some still play guys. Here's Belichick, who used to play his guys, his starters in the preseason. Here's what he said. About a minute long. Listen to Belichick on the preseason.
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't think you really know how anybody's playing in preseason. I mean, especially at the quarterback position. The schemes are so simple. From the other side of the ball, generally speaking, you're running very basic schemes. You're trying to evaluate your players. You're trying to get them to play the good fundamentals that they know how to play. You're not disguising things. You just want your defensive players to be, you know, ready to react and play fast and quickly. And you don't want to put in like 1,000 adjustments against a team who offensively isn't running that much anyway. So, most of those games are very basic. When you watch the games, it's, you know, two or three coverages. You see a lot of man-to-man coverage because teams like to, you know, evaluate their players and see who can play man-to-man and who can't. And so, look, zone teams play zone. I'm not saying that. But, you know, you do things to evaluate your players. I think to come out of preseason and say, oh, this guy's really playing good or that guy's really playing good, I wouldn't put much stock in that at all. I'd put more stock in what they're doing in practice.
So a couple things hit me from that, Hugh. One, he said that you really don't know how anyone's playing in preseason. Mm-hmm. Like, we make these, we see things, we hear things, we think things, but you really have no idea until the season starts. He also made it sound like the practices matter way more than
they do.
Because that goes back to the Kenny Pickett, McKee thing. I heard
Kenny
Elliott. Elliott was on this morning, and Joe asked him, like, are the Eagles going to make a move at backup quarterback? You know, what are they? Because he doesn't feel comfortable with Kenny Pickett. And Elliott made the point that Pickett has played well enough in practice. It's just he hasn't played good in the games, and that's what we see on TV.
Yeah.
And that changes people's opinions.
Yeah, and that's the thing that people need to realize, man. Like, everything in the preseason vanilla, and everything is relative. Like, when we talked about the fact that Kenny held the ball too long and things like that, it's the receivers weren't getting open. They weren't getting open. And it would be different if you had skinny Batman and big Batman out there. So it's one of those things that when we talked about it, I understood perfectly what people were seeing and what they were talking about. And that's why I made the decision. I was like, well, in the gut telling you that it should be the other guy, but it's going to be Kenny Pickett. Because that's usually how it works, because they're factoring in all of those intangibles. And to that point about the preseason and what they do, certain things that you do in practice that nobody sees because you want to, you know, keep that under wraps. I remember when Jim Johnson was our defensive coordinator, every week it would either be the Giant week, it would be Commodore week, or Cowboys week. Or sometimes you'd even sprinkle in a team. Like, it say if we get in training camp, we would go over stuff for the first game against the first team that we're going to say. And then you have the advanced scouts. Everybody's starting. And, you know, that's when you start getting people scouting teams that you're going to play to try to see what they're going to do in preseason and all the other good stuff. But, yeah, it's all about game planning and scheming once the season starts. But during preseason, ain't nobody doing that, man. You just want to go out there and just see flat out who can play.
Yeah, and we do this, I think, because we're just so starved for football. We watch and we pay, and then we're like, oh, yeah, I like this or I like that. And, I mean, stuff that what we just saw in preseason, we will forget for 3 weeks from now. It's almost like spring training in baseball. It doesn't really carry over almost ever at all. But we just get into it because we're just so excited football is back. And Belichick's basically like, yeah, none of it mattered.
Yeah, and you know what? This is one of the main reasons why. And this is no disrespect to anybody that asked the question, but at the same time, it's like when you ask me questions about what have I seen in the preseason and how somebody's playing, I will try my best to answer it, but there's really no answer because you don't really see anything. But you don't want to, but you know, not to get off into a long, drag out conversation, you just say, hey, well, how do you think so and so? Well, I look good. You know, he looks good. He looks good. He looks good. So that's why when I think of the Bryce Huff thing and we talk about what is he going to do, the biggest concern that I have for Bryce Huff is are you going to have enough gas in the tank after first and second down? Because I'm telling you, as a man who knows this intimately, boy, those first couple pass rushes I did, I was like, Lord have mercy, have I been working out at all? Like seriously. Like, I remember I couldn't breathe. And they were like, hey, you got to rush the pass. Now, do I? Like, seriously, that was one of the biggest things. And it was especially obvious when I ran the touchdown back in the Jets game and then had to come right back out there on defense.
How'd you feel?
Boy, I was done. Put a fork in me.
Hugh Douglas is up.
Man, I tell you what, man. Like, I can't express to you enough how much faster and how much more physical the game is when you actually have to play. Like, it was overwhelming. And I remember a couple of times, like, damn, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Like, so, seriously.
So let me ask this question, because what you're saying, I'm sure the Eagles know. I'm sure Bryce Huff knows. I'm sure Vic Fangio knows, right? Like, the idea of going from part-time player to full-time player is a lot, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be more tired on third down. So here's a question I have about the game specifically next Friday. Do you think they're going to ease Bryce Huff into his new role?
No.
Then he might not be effective in the fourth quarter.
No, let me tell you what Bryce Huff should have been doing. Getting his ass ready to play in Brazil and beyond, knowing that they gave you $54 million. You better get your ass on that treadmill or do whatever you have to do in order to be prepared to play. You're going to get 30 snaps easily. Like that. Like, it ain't like I'm about to be the old man.
But is he going
to
get 55 snaps?
I'm going to be the old man on the porch. He ain't playing 60 snaps. Joe, they ain't playing 60 snaps.
Well, that's what I mean. They're going to ease him into it.
No. These guys don't play 60 snaps at all. They play 30.
Sometimes they do.
When? Last year, those guys did.
That's what I mean.
They're not going to play that much. They're going to rotate these guys. I'm assuming. Let me say that. Let me just say that.
So
I assume.
Reddick at times last year would play, I would say probably 55 to 60 snaps in a game.
Yeah, and they complained about it. They're not going to do them like that.
This guy to replace Hassan Reddick.
Joe, the team, you're getting mad at me. The team that went to the Super Bowl, Joe, I would say on average, they probably played like 30 snaps apiece.
They were deeper.
Yeah, they played like 30 snaps apiece. They're going to try to do that.
All right, ready for the snaps last year, Hassan Reddick?
How many?
I'll give you, let's just go week by week, all right? Week by week. 58, 39, 31. 52, 38, 47, 37, 59, 60, 68, 83, 83, 42,
that's a lot of snaps.
59, 51, 53, 59, 26. I got to do the math on that. My eyes are telling me 50-something's an average. It's a lot of snaps.
Yeah, they didn't play like that.
I'm blaming you if Huff's not ready.
He should be ready. Hell, he gave $54 million.
Okay, but there's a difference between being out there and being yourself. Like, all right, if he plays 50 snaps, does he have juice in his legs in the fourth quarter?
Joe, he got to have juice. He has to. But and I will say this. When I played, it felt like it was a whole lot more physical.
It was
more physical. Because you talk about those snaps, you talk about the practice reps, man. Ooh, fix it, Jesus.
When men were men.
Yes.
In the mid-90s.
When nobody was plant-based. Everybody was eating meat.
You were right. I mean, there were vegetarians. Plant-based is definitely a new term. There wasn't a single plant-based person in the 90s.
Nobody was out there plant-basing it. They was out there getting it in.
Back in the day.
It was different.
All right, Kyle, we have some NFL cut news. Is cutdown day 4 o'clock today?
Just a few interesting ones that I saw. The Titans released Caleb Farley,
who was the corner first rounder a few years ago, Virginia Tech.
That's kind of a big one. The Chiefs cut Kadarius Toney.
That was a long time coming.
Yes, but it does go to show where they think their wide receiver room is now as opposed to last season. Yep.
The Chiefs are going to be better than they were last year.
Oh, I agree. On offense, they really nowhere to go but up.
They got Carson Wentz. Yeah, of course.
Him aside, they're better.
Yeah. Great. Their QB room is now better now that Carson Wentz is there. Just one that I saw. Well, actually, real quick, I'll give you an Eagles one. Aeneas Smith. I don't know how to pronounce his first name.
Sound like Aeneas.
He is going to go on the IR.
So they could sneak
him
through.
So they have the roster spot open now.
That tells me Paris Campbell's probably on the team.
Yeah.
Yep. Aeneas Smith sounds funny, though.
And then just the other one that I found interesting. Not like interesting, but like funny. The notification came up as the Panthers are releasing tight end Jordan Matthews. So our old buddy Jordan Matthews, now a tight end, did not find a home with maybe the worst roster in football. So
I was a Jordan Matthews fan when he was young here, and he would catch all those passes. It fell off kind of fast. Didn't he have an ankle injury towards the end of his time here?
I think so.
He never seemed to be the same player. He was Elliott's favorite player.
Speaking of like Wentz, like man, the Wentz connection with Jordan Matthews, man.
So, I mean, look, Jordan Matthews' first 3 years were very productive. So 67 catches, 872 yards as a rookie. Then his next year, his second year, 85 receptions, 997 yards. He had 16 total touchdowns his first 2 years. Then it was 73 for 804. And then since then, it kind of ended. Remember when we came back in 2018? I kind of forgot about that.
The reunion.
He was on the field in the playoffs. Yeah, that's
right.
Did he catch a pass?
It was a touchdown he had against the Saints, right?
When they went up 7? Did they go up 14?
They did go up. I think they went up 14-0 in that
Ertz
game.
Was one of the touchdowns. Was Jordan Matthews the other touchdown?
Somebody got behind the defense and Foles hit him for a deep ball. It might have been Jordan Matthews.
Oh, I got to find this.
And then it was Craven LeBlanc had an interception. What a time. What a time.
I was all in on the 2018 team. Thought they were making another run. Yes, he did have a 37-yard touchdown catch against the Saints in New Orleans. They didn't score again after that. They lost 20-14. It was a good day. I was into that team. I thought they were going to make another run. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Joe is in Jersey. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Black Panther. How we doing?
What's going on, man?
What's up?
How you doing?
Oh, I tell you, I waited so long, my headphones went dead.
Oh, no. Anyway, you got to charge those things back up.
It's unbelievable. Just, you know, Nick Wright is wrong. And so I'm on the website. I'm looking at this marathon, you know, the bidding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing one guy, 10,000, 8,000, 3,000, 5,000. And then I see Gilio and Hugh Douglas, $210.
Sounds like a bargain, if you're asking me.
Yeah, that's about right. That's
too low.
The wheelhouse that we're in.
So what Joe is referencing here, and we're going to do a lot in this next couple of days, the Radiothon, Eagles Radiothon. We're going to talk to a lot of people tomorrow and have really boost up all these great things you could bid on. But yeah, one of them is you get to sit in and hang out for the full show with us here at WIP.
For $200.
Well, that's the bidding now, Hugh. That's going to rise.
Yeah, it's going to rise.
Gentlemen, you go talk to these guys. They got to start you at least $500. That's just... You're a Hall of Famer, man.
$200.
Yo, you're actually that.
I got a $30 coat. What are you talking about?
Who's plant-based now?
I got a $30 coat. I got a $30 coat.
How about Joe? You just put the first bid in at $500, and away we go.
No, I'm gonna bid $500 when I get off the phone. I was gonna bid $1,000, but I waited so long I knocked it to $500.
Okay.
So this is my point, guys. You know, you're always on the mark. I got 11-6. Deep into the playoffs. This is what I think we have to think about. We had a really soft defense last year. I think this defense is going to be much more physical, much more aggressive. We had the 31st ranked defense.
If we go to 16th or 15th with this offense, we should go far. Another fact, we have the top five roster in football. Everybody votes, everything you see, who has the top five roster? The Eagles. So why shouldn't we go far?
Well, the coaching, the coach, number one, the head coach, is a concern after last year. But yeah, that, look, they have enough talent. I just, when you look at that talent, it's a lot of it is centralizing the skill players, Joe, and not enough for me in the pass rush and the O-line, but it's possible.
Look, you know something, you know, everybody, you know, Mekhi Becton, this guy was like the 14th pick in the draft.
Yep.
I mean, he's going to be killing people when they go to sweep to the right side. I mean, I'm not worried about the offensive line. This kid is a good center. I have a lot of confidence in him. We got great skilled players. So where I would be disappointed in you is if we go to this first week and we have problems with the blitz, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to totally lose it. We got to figure that out by now.
Oh, without question. I mean, because then you start to look at it. Joe, we always appreciate your phone call and the bid. Yes, tomorrow and the next couple of days, we'll be talking a lot about the Eagles Radiothon, including a sit-in here with the Midday Show.
All right. $200.
Well, Joe said he's going to go bid $500
okay,
right now.
Okay, $500. You got to beat that.
$501.
You got to beat $501.
I was going to say you're bidding, but you're part of it. You can't bid.
I can't bid. I'm here. I'm going to be here.
If we're being real, you wouldn't bid that much.
No, that's too much. I got $30.
Don't tell people that.
Coat. No, but I'm saying for me.
You also got we got a new coach yesterday.
Yeah,
by the way.
I did. I got a free coat. That's better. That free trumps 30 all day long.
Did you try? You tried it on? Is it warm?
Yes, I did. It's pretty nice, man. Nice.
You ready for the?
Well,
fall
I tried
winter?
It on yesterday, and it was kind of snug. But I got one that's not so snug.
No.
Nah.
I mentioned yesterday I was interested in the Phillies signing Jason Hayward for the stretch run.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was signed. It's not going to be the Phillies. It's actually going to be the team they're playing right now. The Houston Astros are signing Jason Hayward for the remainder of the season. Dodgers had released him, so he's now going to end up with the Houston Astros. Good team, taking on a player I've always liked.
Does Dombrowski know that there's more than just a trade deadline?
I would think he would know the rules.
I feel like he sleeps.
Yeah, I would like that waiver wire sharing a little more.
He's a potential Hall of Fame like manager. I mean,
GM.
GM, right?
Yeah, but I mean, is he cooked? I'm just saying.
I mean, Jason Hayward is just sitting out there.
No, I'm just saying. No, I don't think he's cooked. I think he's more calculating than that.
Is
I got
he my content? Eye on him. Is he too content with his roster? I think he is at times.
But we know that. We know that because at the trade deadline, he really didn't do a whole lot.
But
he
every day you don't get better, you get worse. That's my motto.
And the guys started to pay dividends for him because they hit. They've been hitting. They've had, like, what, 60 hits in the last couple of weeks?
No, they've been pretty good. The other guy that was released yesterday.
Runs, I should say.
Hits, yeah. Well, they had a lot of hits. Ex-Philly Drew Smyly released by the Cubs. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely take Drew Smyly, especially because we don't know when and if Jose Alvarado's coming back. They could use another arm.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.